the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to this. James says, the whole course of our life is established by the things we say. Now, we're not going into the power of the tongue in that direction. The direction we're going today first is to establish that the tongue can either be an oracle of the spirit, or it can be an oracle of the way we want to live. Amen? So the Bible says, Peter says, let's minister as the oracles, as the mouthpiece of God. So James says, in man, there is something that is uncontrollable. We cannot control it. And he says the tongue is uncontrollable. But because it's uncontrollable, all you need to do is, because you can't stop the tongue from speaking, but you can change what was in the inside so that the tongue can speak life. Because the tongue will always speak. The tongue will not stop speaking. But what the tongue speaks can either set the course of hell or it can either set the course of heaven. So, because the reason simply why the tongue cannot be tamed is because God has given man a willpower spiritually. Now, he used an example that I want to start to use tonight for the process of brokenness. God says, where is the house? A broken and a contrite heart. And then James says, if we put a bit in the mouth of a horse, we can direct his direction. I always use this Coco's horse's den for an example. Coca had some horses when he used to keep horses. And a friend of my pastor in Athens has horses. But in Coca's house, he bought this horse. There was one of it that was very nice, very beautiful. This horse is in this wild fenced area, always running. Just running and screaming and running and just having fun running. It was a very nice, beautiful horse. And every time Coco would do something with that horse, he has to shout and beat it and use all kinds of ways to try to get it to come and eat. You know, just running, just doing his own thing. But there's one that Coco later gave to me as a gift when he was getting close to die. And just... I was 20 years old. So that was my horse. The name was called Chocolate Drop. So they gave me that horse. But when I went there the first time, this is the horse that has been broken. The other horse has not been broken. This horse has gone through a process of brokenness. And after going through the process of brokenness, they were able to put this bit in the horse's mouth. And they were able to put this all the things that you can sit on the horse, and they put these reins. And so even a child, they were two kids, a child can sit on that horse. And you just pull it. They were teaching me how to do it. If you want to go right, you pull the right thing. You pull it, the horse will go that direction. If you want it to stop, you pull it and you touch the sides, it stops. If you want it to go faster, you do just all the different things you have to do. But whatever you do, the horse is no more under his own control. The horse has power, but every energy of the horse is being applied to what you want it to do. So you take the horse, I want to run, the horse will run. Stop the horse, stop. Go left, the horse, go left. Go right, the horse, go right. If you want to lift the horse up, if you know those that likes to do shows, it will lift up. But guess what? In ancient times, and even possibly in current history, the only animal that was used for war was horses. These are called war horses, but these are horses that have been so broken that they can go, even facing death, you can drive them to the face of death. They are so broken that if you want to run over a fire, you can charge them up and there's a fire, they will run. There's a pit, whatever it is, they see danger, but they've been trained, they respond to the person sitting on that horse. They literally live for the person on that horse. Those are broken horses. But the one that Coco had that was in that place, the unbroken horse, they are beautiful. They are energetic, they are powerful, but you can't even get them. You can't get that Coco's horse to even come close to the fence. Coco bought it with his money, but he will not do anything Coco says. Sometimes he has to beat him to bring him to the barn to come and eat fresh grass and other stuff. But that one that is broken, come and eat, he eats. Let's go there. Everything is just is broken. Now, a broken horse is a horse that is now ready for the master's use. A horse that is yielded to the desires of his master. A horse that can carry the master where he wants to go. Whether he wants to cross a river, the horse does not say, this is a river. Whether he wants to go to war, the horse does not say, this is war. Whatever he wants to do, the horse has no more say. It only goes, does what the master says. Simply, out of brokenness, a bead has been put in his mouth, meaning he only goes and does what the master says. Now, when God said, to this man will I look, to him that is of a broken and a contrite heart, what is he saying? Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, and all this place. Where is the house? Where is the place? We've been purchased by the blood. So, like Coca, he has horses. But if Coca wanted to do something, he wanted to travel, he wanted to go to war, he wanted to help people, whatever he wants to do, which of the horses do you think now he has the capacity to ride? Which of them? The broken one. Huh? Chocolate drop. The broken one. Amen? Why? I thought he owns all the horses. So this is what God is saying. The heaven is my throne. I'm a big God. Nothing can contain me. But if I'm going to dwell in the earth or visit the earth, where is the vessel? Where will I dwell? God has not always wanted to dwell in tents. That was a shadow. He didn't want to dwell in physical buildings. That was a shadow. He wanted to inhabit us. And for sure, he has made way for that to happen. But even though we are like horses, that belongs to him. But this time, we are not talking about horses, but we're talking about vessels. As a horse is needed by the master to serve a purpose, God needs vessels to ride through to serve a purpose. That's why Paul says we are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are not our own. We've been purchased. In other words, here you bought a horse because you want to ride it. But here is this horse, it doesn't want you to ride it. And it doesn't want to go. So God is saying, where will I dwell? Where is the house? Where is where will I make myself a resident? So I can move when I want. I can speak when I want. I can stop when I want. I can, because the shadow of this in the Old Testament was a cloud by day and a fire by night. When this cloud stops, it stops. When it rises, it rises. Whether by day or by night, God was teaching them a shadow of what he's looking for. A broken people. So, God is saying, as much as he loves us, we have a will. Just like a horse has a will of his own. But our will is expressed through our own words. What we want to do, how we want to do it, through our own vision, and our will is driven by our own words. So God is saying, brokenness is the process of exchanging our will for the will of God. Or let's put it this way. It's the process of exchanging our carnal words to begin to put on the word of God, the life of God. It's the process that it takes to crucify lay our life, our will down and allow the will of God to take residence. The process is called brokenness. And when God is true with the process of brokenness, what happens is, it looks like this. The flesh man or our will is totally surrendered. Is totally surrendered, is dead. And now, the will of God begins to manifest. So what is God looking for? God is saying, I'm looking for sons. Where will I dwell? I want to dwell in the midst of my children, my sons and daughters. So what does that mean? It means this. A horse, even though it belongs to the owner, if it's not broken, the horse is not living for the owner. Amen? The same way, even though a believer, a Christian, is born again, but it's not broken to self and pride, that person is not living as a son. So, the self man and the willpower of man is contrary to the spirit man and the will of God. So this whole process of brokenness is the process of dying to the flesh man and letting the spirit man come into manifestation, which is the sons of God. Now, we're going to look at this and see this whole thing and why Abraham's life went that way. But to fast forward quickly so you understand the fullness of this was the life of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect example, a son of God, God himself. He came to really show us a perfect example of what he's looking for. For 30 years, he lived a life through a process of brokenness. He was born of the Spirit, but born into the flesh world. So he took 30 years to totally wait. And through that period, he was laying down flesh. He was waiting on God until the season appointed of God, Galatians chapter 4. And at the fullness of time, that fullness again, now you understand, is the seventh number. The fullness, meaning the time of testing and trial or going to school, the time of just completion. When that completion has taken place, that sonship, that whatever preparation, then the son is released at the appointed time of the Father. So Jesus, being an example, lived a life that of brokenness. And then at the time appointed of God, he was now sent forth from when he crossed over after John the Baptist baptized him and he came out of the wilderness. He laid down the Son of Man and started operating as the Son of God. You will not hear until he was 30 years old after that baptism. Right there, God says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He has come now to serve as the Son of God." Immediately after then, he went to the wilderness and started ministering as the Son of God under the anointing and power of sonship. So that's what the Lord is looking for. Brokenness, a surrendering of our will, a dying to our old wineskin, to put on a new wineskin, the wineskin of sonship. So how did this relate to the season that we are in? The horse and the bridle and all these things. By the way, Jesus says, the Son can do nothing except what he hears, and he cannot speak anything except what he hears from the Father. He can do nothing unless what he sees. So you can see that Jesus was bridled. He came into sonship. He says, I cannot go unless he says go. I cannot move unless what I see. I cannot speak unless what he gives me to speak. I have only come to fulfill the will of the Father. And he says, not my will, but his will. Even at the cost of the cross, he was willing to go to that cross because it was not his will. He was surrendered to the will of the Father. Like a war horse. Amen? That's sonship. Now, because this had been a mystery before Christ came, from the story the Lord started speaking to us in the life of Abraham, what God did to Abraham was to crucify, to bring the man Abraham to death physically, self, through a period of waiting on a promise. God gave him a promise, but while he's waiting on the promise, his flesh lost the ability to make it happen. And Sarah, because the promise was for both of them to bring forth, Sarah's womb that received the promise died. The name of Abraham was Abraham. He came to the point where Abraham had to die. Sarah's womb had to die. But before then, to show you the Old Testament, how God was looking for sonship, sons of promise, daughters of promise, of destiny. Abraham, while he was Abraham, while Sarah's womb was still, you know, before he died, the first time Abraham cried and said, God, let my servant be the heir. I want you to pay attention. That's why I said this is very important. Let my servant be the heir. And God says, no. Abraham didn't understand because the father of faith is for our training. God says, no. Why? Here is what Abraham is asking for. Like every one of us, like most people out there, Abraham is saying, God, invest your power upon my servant and let him be the heir to the nations. Let him represent your kingdom to the nations. Out of ignorance, God said, he didn't know what he was asking for. In other words, he's asking God to do something that God did in the past. He invested the greatest of his power on a born servant, a slave called Satan, called Lucifer. And that servant, when under pressure, exalted himself above the God who gave him power. Exalted himself, took a bunch of other people who have the same heart and rebelled against God himself and divided the kingdom of God. God does not give power and inheritance to slaves. That's why angels are not sons. It's a big difference in the hierarchy of heaven. Jesus was the only son. And we now being adopted into sonship, entered into that level. Above angels, they are servants. Now, so what Abraham was asking, give inheritance, make my servant heir. And God said, you don't understand, it's not gonna. Why was he struggling? Because his flesh is still under testing. And he wanted to see these things manifest in the flesh. He didn't. So you see again, a process continued. And then when Sarah's womb died and Abraham is now really old, is getting old, what happened? They came up with a vision, a plan. Sarah said, let my slave be the vessel to manifest this. They didn't ask God. They just did it. So they did it, and Hagar, Sarah's slave, produced a child. His name became Ishmael. And then, as God visited Abraham in the story of this week, this season that God is telling us, number 8, God now spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to multiply, I'm going to begin the process. In the midst of it, do you know what Abraham said? He says, let Ishmael be made the heir. Give inheritance to the heir. Make Ishmael my slave. Ishmael. Now, listen to this. Is Abraham, the man of the flesh, son? It's not the son of Abraham. It was after circumcision. Isaac, after circumcision, the name of Abraham was changed. So here again, Abraham was praying and say, let this man of my flesh and the flesh of the slave be the heir to your kingdom. These are types and shadows. And God said to Abraham again, no, it's going to come through Sarah. Sarah? Her womb is dead. That's exactly how sons are born. So now, Isaac was born as a seed of promise. And the difference was that it came out of a resurrected womb. Supernatural womb. Amen? So quickly, here is the word that Paul revealed in Galatians about this sonship. There was a time Abraham was trying to, because he's a father in the flesh, was trying to keep Ishmael around. And Sarah says no. And in that argument, God confirms Sarah's the destiny of Isaac. And this is a statement Paul related to in Galatians. He says, cast out the seed of the bond woman. The servant, the bond woman. Cast out. For the seed of the bond woman cannot be heir, cannot share inheritance with the seed of the promise. Cannot be heir, cannot receive inheritance with the seed of the promise. So what does this mean? Galatians, what does it mean with the book of James we just talked about? What does it mean with brokenness? What does it mean? First of all, the way a horse is broken is a process. The key God uses to break sons from men of flesh to men of the spirit is waiting on God. And Jesus was the example. Moses was the example. Joseph was the example. David was the example. All those people in the Bible were not there for us for decoration. God used different generations to show us there is no shortcut to sonship, to inheritance. In other words, there is no shortcut to the cross. You can never be a son without the cross. Because what circumcision did to Abraham was this. It separated Abraham, man of the flesh, and that circumcision, that cross, produced son Isaac. So after waiting, Abraham and Sarah's womb died in waiting. So what happens to us, majority of us here and different people, and myself, I have lived that a lot, is like Abraham, there are so many times in our lives we have cried out for God to do something in our lives, and we don't see it. We cry so hard like Abraham. I mean, that man cried. I can't bear this anymore. The reproach, let this child take over. It's my son, let Ishmael. I mean, these are cries. Why? Because he's waited for decades for one promise. So what happens is, we cry and we cry and we cry for God to do certain things, and we don't see it happen. So we think God in here or God, is not going to do it. But unknown to us that God has called us in his mercy to be sons. And he does not want to give us anything that will cut us off from the process of brokenness and the process of transformation that will bring us to sonship so that we can walk in divine inheritance. If we are not sons, let me tell you what happens. Whenever you are not really going to walk as a man or woman of destiny in the mystery of God, if you, for example, like Abraham, you come into the kingdom and God calls him out, and he calls him into ministry. If you fast all the time and pray all the time, and the whole prayer is not about God changing you, it's not about God breaking you or whatever, or waiting, but your whole prayer, everything you do is always about God, give me power for ministry. Give me anointing for this. God, give me power. And you just got saved. And you're praying for power and praying. If God loves you, you will never see power. You will see wilderness. You will see this process, brokenness first. But if you are not a son and your life is not mixed with faith, God will do exactly what he did to the children of Israel. He will give you what you're asking for. Let me tell you what he did, exactly the full picture of this. There are people in Matthew chapter 7 that ask for the same thing. And I want you to see how serious this is. They ask for the same thing. How do I know? Because they were given power. They were given anointing. And they used it for God. They cast out devils. They did great things. They were known. They were popular. They were great. But they were slaves in their heart. They were orphans. Every great thing they did it out of a wild horse. It was not out of obedience. It built their pride. And it built, just like Satan, it built their kingdom. Not the kingdom of God. Their hearts were not circumcised. They had nothing. They were still, just like Satan, their heart is still self, pride. So all they wanted was something to build themselves. So that's why Jesus says, when they come before God, that's why I'm saying God loves you, that he doesn't answer all your prayer, power this, power that, why you've not done all this, all these things. God will say, "Is this Bible is true," will say to many people before our eyes when we get to heaven. Some of the greatest ministers, who knows, when we get to heaven, when this whole thing, God starts showing us this thing, you say, "What? That man?" No, anointing can make Lucifer look pretty. It can make Lucifer look like an angel of light. Anointing does. But God says, listen to this. Depart from me. He didn't say, "I used to know you." He says, "I never knew you." So, with all this power they use for him, so that's it. What does that mean? They, from the beginning of their Christian life, as soon as God opens their eyes, like the children of Israel, God is trying to take them through the wilderness of sonship, but they keep asking for the hand of God. "God, give me your hand. God, give me your hand. God, every time, give me food. Give me this. Give me that." God is saying, "I'm trying to point you to my heart, to me. I want to be a father to you. I want you to be my children." But still, they are like slaves from Egypt. "No, I just meet my needs. I don't want your heart. Just meet my needs, meet my needs." And they never inherited their promise because they were slaves and died as slaves in the wilderness. But those whose hearts were changed and put on spirit of sonship, like Joshua and Caleb, walked into the promise, into the inheritance. Abraham was asking for flesh and blood again to inherit the slaves, the man of the flesh. So how does that relate to us, my brothers and sisters? Even though we are born again, we keep stressing this. We have a selfish nature that is tied to this flesh. That selfish nature is like a horse that has never been broken. Brokenness is the only way we can ever obey the will of God. Brokenness is the only way we can surrender to the will of God. Brokenness is the only way God can move through us and go like a horse. He can go where he wants to go and do what he wants to do. And so God is saying, if I cannot finish the process of brokenness, I cannot separate the men of the flesh from the men of the Spirit. Sonship. Sons of promise. And I can do exploits through them. One of the processes through brokenness, and then we'll go to Acts, is whenever God is taking us through the wilderness, what wilderness means is sometimes it looks like it's testing time. It does not give you everything God wants to do because it's testing time. So during wilderness, God is testing your heart. Will you love him for who he is, for better, for worse? Or will you love him only when he meets your needs? Is he a father because you carry his DNA? Is he a father because two of you are in love relationship, you're a son and he's a father? Or is he a father because you're thirsty for water and he did not get water to you on time? Or you're looking for manna for food, you didn't get food on time. So it's like, where is he? Or you have sickness. You know what the Lord showed to me recently? He says, do you know why sometimes in the Bible some people, you might not get your healing. Some people didn't get their healing even when Jesus was ministering. They got it when the apostles were ministering. Sometimes God will use you to bring healing to a lot of people. Just pray for them and they get healed. You know why he will do that? Because he wants you to know he's still a healer. But then there will be a season where he might not heal you of something. And the reason is, he's already shown you he can heal. But the reason is, sometimes he's not healing you. Maybe through the times of waiting, he's asking you a question. And that's what he does to me in different things. He's asking you a question. Because whenever we don't receive something, God, you're big, you healed this person, I prayed, you've not healed me. We begin to struggle with our identity of sonship. We begin to wonder, God, you know, we begin to question everything. And the reason for those trials and testings in the process of brokenness is that God is saying, if you have food, am I a father? If you don't have food, am I a father? If you're sick in the flesh, am I a father? If you're not sick, am I a father? Is my fatherhood or your sonship, does it depend on what you have and what you don't have? Does it depend on what you eat and what you don't eat? So God will strip a lot of this until we come to a place where we are totally content. Like Paul says, whether I am abased, whether I abound, I know who I am. Whether I'm beaten, whether I'm in jail, I don't question. Whether I have food to eat, whether I am attacked by robbers, whether I am in perils in the sea. In Romans, it says, whether there's no famines and so, he named everything. He says, none of these things separates me anymore from the love of God. I have come to the maturity of my identity. I am a son. And as long as I live in this world, it's for better, for worse. I am in a dangerous world that is polluted by satanic activities. And my flesh, no matter what you suffer or go through, as long as it's just flesh in this world, that will not question the security and the faithfulness of my Father. Amen? Because we don't have food tomorrow. Our God is not, he doesn't care. Amen? So this process of brokenness, like I shared earlier, is like a horse. Whatever your master do, if he says, die as a martyr, you won't even question it because you're already dead. Amen? If he says, like Paul, you know, or whatever it is God puts on your path, you're already a slave of righteousness. That's a broken and a yielded vessel. All your gifts are used for his glory. All your talents are used for his glory. It's no more about building your self-satisfaction. It's all for his glory. And that's what consecration does. That's what how sons are transformed. And that's why we're here. And that's why we've been waiting. And like Abraham, God brought us to a transition this year. And I believe as we seal this time, what God is saying to us, a new beginning. He says the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. So as Abraham came to the end, I believe the church has come to a place of struggling and suffering to an end. I believe God is now about to resurrect the church and raise up sons and daughters again. Amen. So I believe that's what God, I believe this new beginning will be part of sons and daughters entering into a place of maturity, into a place of destiny. And now, this scripture came this evening as part of something we should pray into for this season as a new beginning. And it's Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." What we have decided to do, and out of your obedience, you have done it, is consecrate yourself. Consecration, a life of consecration, is a life of continuously positioning your spirit man and this position in your flesh, man, is always a way of bridling your flesh, man, and causing your spirit, man, to be positioned for the times of refreshing. What does that mean? It's a preparation that allows us to be in alignment for the times of refreshing. What this is like, the Lord was showing me, he's saying, repent. Repent, repent therefore and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out. So when the times of refreshing. I studied that word tonight as the Lord was bringing it to my knowledge. The word times here, I was surprised. He says, when the times, if you go check it, just click your concordance in Greek, is the word for kairos. And I'll put it together. It's the word for kairos. Kairos time. Kairos time, like we said, is God's time, God's season, God's win, God's timing for something, God's opportune moment. So I want you to follow this. Now, then the word refreshing, if you pull it up in the same concordance in the Greek, is the word for recovery. Basically, it's the same word for revival. In Greek, is the word for revival or recovery of breath, restoration of breath. And we know that the Spirit of God is the wind of God. The life of God says there was a mighty wind that came through that upper room. Now, let me read this again with the understanding I give to you. It's saying, by repentance or by by blotting away or consecrating ourselves like we're doing and waiting, it positions us to be yielded for when God visits. it positions us to be yielded for when the season of God comes true, we will become the recipients of it. Just like the difference between a wild horse and a broken horse. When the owner wants to ride, immediately the broken horse is ready for use. Amen? So he says, God is asking us this season, what he's saying is, we have been positioned and prepared to enter into the mindsets of sonship so that in the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, as God begins to breathe afresh into the church, as God begins to resuscitate the slumbering church, as God, that word breathe means the life of the Holy Ghost come back again and revive. That word, it means revival, to give breath back again, to, you know, from dry bones to raise the church again. We, by consecration, have made ourselves like broken hearts and will be the recipients. It's not a coincidence that 120 people made themselves the original broken horses that God used to ride into the destiny of Israel and to the rest of the nations. They were consecrated over a period of time. Amen? So don't take your consecration and this season for granted. A lot has been broken in you. A lot has been broken. And we're yielding more to the Lord. Tonight, by sealing the 7 days of prayer, we just consecrated the rest of the year to God. So the prayer tonight, I want us to be really very mindful of it and be very serious and take it a little deeper. And we are going to pray that God will now take us. In the natural, a horse is ridden, but we are temples. God wants to walk through us, speak through us, move through us, do just like somebody that owns a horse wants to do. We are his vessels now. So we want to pray tonight, and I want you to really, however way God leads you, whether you lie down or stand or kneel, however way, just seal this night and say, God, he knows the level to which you're broken. I want the rest of this year for you to totally establish my step in your will, my goings in your will, everything according to what you have planned for me, destiny. I want you to carry me as a son and not as a slave, as a son and not as an orphan, as a man of the spirit, not a man of the flesh, as a broken and a contrite vessel, not as a prideful, rebellious, and still living in my selfish understanding. Just anyway, you can put the rest from your heart. You know what, whatever else you want to pray. But let's pray that we position ourselves for the times of refreshing when it comes from the Lord. We're going to really take time to pray. We're not going to rush this prayer. So please give yourself to this. This is why we spend 7 days seal and dedicate your life for God to use you right through you this year. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Yeah, let's just take time to pray, then later we can lead out.